Good afternoon and welcome to the Devil's Porridge Museum podcast. Today we're going to be chatting with Jade, a former volunteer at the museum who has recently completed the final year of her degree at the University of Stirling and submitted her dissertation, which in part discusses her time as a volunteer at the museum. So Jade, let's start from the beginning. When was it you volunteered at the museum and how did you first get involved?
I volunteered at the Devil's Porridge Museum in early 2017 as part of my degree programme at the University of Stirling. So this was my first year at the university and I was doing an RE teaching degree. And we were given the choice of different types of placements. So rather than all of the school placements that we had to do sort of second, third and fourth year of university, they said, well, why don't you go somewhere where it's somewhere of educational value? And that was the only criteria we really had to meet. So some people went to the Stirling Brownie groups and things like that. We were given a certain number of hours that we had to fill in, and it could be done over however much time you like. So it didn't just have to be a block of 2 weeks all at once. You could spread the hours out however you liked. So I contacted the Devil's Porridge Museum, being from Eaglesfield myself, when I was 1 year old, though I did live in Eastriggs and I have family there, so I know all about it. I've visited quite a few times. I was there for the opening when they brought the new building in and everything. My grandparents have also donated a few things. So it was sort of in the family. They're going, why don't you go to the Devil's Porridge Museum? And yeah, that's what I decided to do. I've always had a really big interest in history, but I never really studied it so much at school.
And what kind of roles did you take on when you were volunteering at the museum? Were you involved in any of the front of house roles, or was it mainly within the kind of education and curatorial side of the museum?
Because I'd staggered my time at the Devil's Porridge Museum, it meant that I had quite a few different roles depending on what was happening at the time. So my first week of the sort of 2 week placement the university told me I had to do, I was mostly helping out with the sort of curation work and doing the sort of like item of the month with Sarah, who was working there at the time. And it was a lot of fun because I was sort of given an object and I had to write out the sort of little plaque that would go next to it to explain to people its significance, and also had to make sure it incorporated why it was important locally, because it's a local museum rather than a national one. So the information wasn't too broad general. I had to look at who might have used the item that lived in the area at the time and where the family was from. But I also had to cram that down into, you know, not very many words, which was a real challenge for me, because once I'd got to university, I'd got used to having to have this one question and write thousands of words from that. So keeping it small was quite a challenge for me. So it helped me with skills like that. But then also the next time I was back, I staggered my sort of next week over a couple of days, depending on when they had groups booked in and sort of buses and coaches and things like that. So I waited on school groups coming in and I worked with their education officer at the time. And we put together some sort of worksheets depending on the topics that they were doing, and depending on the age group as well, and the boys and the girls. Some of them wanted to work on different things, but we wanted to keep it consistent, so there were also things that both groups could do as well. And we'd split them up so that the other volunteers could take them around and show them how they might dress, or how the rationing would work, or what would be in the household at the sort of times that they were looking at, depending on the school group again. And it was really fun because no group's going to be the same and no school's going to be the same either. So there was a lot going on, and you also had to then help with the general public. And it was quite funny because at the time, you're getting visitors coming along in the summer from different parts of the country. And I was also working in a hotel in Gretna and then dealing with them at night, not realising. So in a way, it was sort of ambassador for the museum. So there was a lot going on. There's a lot you've got to think about when you're involved with something like that. It's not just something where you can go in and volunteer and then, you know, stop thinking about it at night. Because it's a local museum, you do want to get everyone involved. You want everyone to know about it. So it's just generally, you know, trying to let more people know. It was in the area, and of course, because I was in Stirling, which gets quite a bit of tourism every year, I was then going up to Stirling and telling other people of what there was in Dumfries and Galloway to do. So not just front of house or helping with the tills or anything like that. I was working alongside the volunteers that have been there for years, or new ones that were coming in that were going to be almost sort of full time. And it was so much fun because no 2 days were the same. And everyone was able to adapt to different situations. I feel like everyone that was in there didn't just have one role to play. There was so much more to it. And I think that was the bit that kept me there longer than it was even supposed to be. When my first year of my course finished, I actually moved back down into my parents so I could work that summer. And when I was working, I was also in the Devil's Porridge sort of through the day, working on the bar at night and stuff like that in Gretna. And that was just because I really liked it.
You obviously enjoyed your time at the museum an awful lot, and I must admit that the variation and the fact that no two groups are the same, it's certainly one of the things I enjoy most about the role. But what other ways did you find volunteering beneficial, and would you recommend volunteering, I mean, not just at the Devil's Porridge Museum, but would you recommend volunteering in general to other young people?
Volunteering with the Devil's Porridge was actually hugely beneficial to me. A lot of people, when they did their placement, other people on my course, they did their placement and they just kind of left it at that, and they would leave and not really think about it again. But for me, because it's something local to where I'm from, something I'd been involved with and I knew the people that were there and things like that, I wasn't just going to drop it. It was something close to my heart. So I kept going with it, and then I also used it, and I used the experiences and was able to apply it to loads of different things. So yes, I was on a teaching degree, but there were other jobs that I was doing whilst I was at the university. And somebody, one of my friends actually, said, oh, there's a job going in Stirling Castle. And I was like, okay, well, I don't think I'm going to get that job because I don't have any qualifications in history. I never studied at school because I wasn't allowed to study another humanities subject. I'd already done RE, philosophy and geography. So I wasn't allowed to do history. I hadn't done history at university. And there was no way I was going to get this job. And they asked for a reference on the application. My friend pushed me to go and do it. So I used the staff at the Devil's Porridge for a reference and ended up getting a phone call not long later saying I had an interview. And next thing I know, I'm working in Stirling Castle, and I just couldn't quite believe it. And when I spoke to the boss, it was actually a company called Living History Scotland that I'd been working for rather than Stirling Castle itself. So Stirling Castle's run by Historic Environment Scotland. Living History Scotland are the costumed sort of characters that you see within the castle and along other locations across Scotland as well. The boss told me that it was mostly the fact that I'd been at the Devil's Porridge Museum that had got me the job, which I was so, so thankful for. I was in contact with the staff again and the volunteers, and I thanked them so much. And I worked in Stirling Castle with them for over 2 years. Obviously, I couldn't work with them this year because of coronavirus. The castle's been shut down, and I'm working another job in Stirling at the moment. But it helped me so, so much, and I was able to gain so many qualifications further on from that rather than just university or school qualifications. So I was dressed up as characters, real life characters from the 16th century era, playing somebody in the year 1546 on a sort of daily basis in authentic costumes. So Mary Queen of Scots was just a young child at this time. There was the rough wooing of Henry VIII and all this, and it was all so exciting to be given a character profile and go off and research it on your own. And the fact that I'd been doing curation work with The Devil's Porridge, that helped me so much in being able to look for the right things when researching my history, because there's just different ways of researching different subjects, and I really kind of struggled with that at first. But with The Devil's Porridge, I knew what I was doing, because staff always gave me, you know, really good links and really good websites that I could reference and things like that. So it's hugely benefited me, because it's also got me travelling as well. Like I say, it wasn't just Stirling Castle I was based in. I was at Linlithgow at one point, which is the birthplace of Mary Queen of Scots. I was in Alloa Tower, which is somewhere that she stayed when she was on her way to Edinburgh. And I also featured in the Annan paper about a year ago today, I think. And that was when they were advertising the new app for Calaverick Castle. So I was paid to go and get my photo taken while holding the iPad there. And that was for Historic Environment Scotland. They hired me out for that. So if you've ever seen my face, I really apologise for that. But that was me in some about sort of 12th century-ish costume, and it was a really, really hot day there. But again, that was a different era that I hadn't learned about. So it really benefited me on my Scottish history, travelling around. And yeah, all of that was just to do with this one placement I did at the Devil's Porridge Museum. So it's not just, volunteering isn't just something that you do for your Duke of Edinburgh or something that young people do at school if they don't want to get a job, they might volunteer instead. It's not just for that. It's for, you know, gaining experience in something you're maybe not familiar with. I ended up actually dropping my teaching degree, which seemed quite shocking to everyone at first, but it's because I realised, do you know what, I have all of this experience with history now, and I was only able to get my foot on the ladder with that because of this volunteering work at the Devil's Porridge Museum. It wasn't to do with anything to do with qualifications that I'd got, it was all to do with volunteering. So yeah, I think you definitely need to give it a go. If you don't try, then you're not going to get there. There's no point in just sort of brushing it off, saying, oh, I'm too old to volunteer, or I'm too young to volunteer, or anything like that. You can get involved in so, so many ways, and it does benefit you in one way or another. It might not benefit you immediately, but it's one of the things, if you try it, you stick with it, and, you know, you meet people, you get contacts and all of this kind of thing, and eventually it'll lead you to where you're wanting to be.
That's really interesting, Jade, and actually I took a rather similar route into museums as well, in that I started out doing a teaching degree and then decided to stop the teaching element of it and move into museum education. Now, you've recently completed your dissertation, so firstly, congratulations on that. But perhaps you could tell us a little bit about your dissertation and what was involved, and of course why you decided to include us in your dedication.
Well, first of all, I just want to thank the Devil's Porridge for the little social media post they did about my dissertation. I did put a dedication in for them, and I emailed a couple of people through a contact through one of the volunteers. And I let them know that I'd put a dedication into the museum. And yeah, I just really did that because I felt like the Devil's Porridge, because they're such a local museum and they're involved with the local community a lot of people don't know they're there, because they're not one of these big, you know, massive, massive attractions that everybody knows about, likes of, you know, maybe Gretna Green, if we're speaking in local terms. But if you're speaking in more sort of national terms, obviously they're not like the National Museum of Scotland or anything like that. It's not something where everybody knows about. So I decided just to kind of slide that one in there, thinking, right, you know, people that see my dissertation are obviously going to see that and wonder, oh, what is, you know, what's the Devil's Porridge? So a bit of a, I guess, like a publicity thing, but also it was mostly just due to the fact that I can't thank them enough for where I am right now. You know, I left school, moved away to Stirling. I was only one from my school, so I went to Lockerbie Academy. I was only one from my year to go to Stirling. I was on my own, didn't know what I was doing, didn't even know what I wanted to do with my life, nothing like that. I'd just always been interested in history, but I thought, yeah, let's just do an RE teaching course because, yeah, cool, I'm good at RE at school. And that was basically it. And I thought, yeah, that's fine, I'll just do that. And then when I got into the Devil's Porridge for that placement, I was like, no, history is where I want to be. And I could have added on my degree, but I didn't. I just stuck with RE degree for a little bit longer, and I swapped over, I think, about the last week I was allowed to do it by the university. So I was halfway through my third year when I dropped teaching, and I continued with the religious studies. Now, religious studies at the University of Stirling, it's not like theology, it's not, I guess, like learning the Bible off by heart or anything like that, or like you do in RE, it's not like this is how this religion practices, or this is the way that they get involved in their community, or it wasn't like that. It was more of a study on how religion is incorporated into so many parts of life. So with that one degree, I was studying psychology, I was studying history, feminism. There was a lot on racism, Orientalism, colonialism. They were the two main things that I liked to focus on, and it was to do with museum studies, actually. So again, museum studies wasn't really something I knew existed when I left school. So I thought, well, if I specialise in that in my dissertation, again, that's just going to be something that's going to put my foot on the ladder and help me hopefully in the future get where I want to be. But the Devil's Porridge, they were there for that first sort of history involved job when I got my job with Living History Scotland in Stirling Castle, and it literally changed my life so much. Normally I wouldn't even be able to sort of give this interview or anything like that. I was so shy and quiet when I left school, but it helped me with my confidence. It helped me kind of know what I was doing, know how to research things, know how to talk with people and get connections. And and then obviously when I was in Stirling Castle, it was a bit more of a kind of performance. So again, I had to bring my confidence up on that. And I just have the Devil's Porridge to thank for that. I would not have been able to do any of that without first working with them. And it's just one of those things I'm always so thankful for. So I like to support them. And even now I'm working in Stirling Gin Distillery, and I get people coming in on my tours and they're going, oh yeah, we were at this museum in Dumfries and Galloway, just over the border. You won't know it though, you won't know it. And I was like, oh, what's it called? Thinking, yeah, no, I know it. And they were like, oh, it's the Devil's Porridge Museum, it's about blah 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, I know, I used to volunteer there. And they just look at me in shock and they go, do you know what, that was one of the best places we've ever stopped at, you know, on our route up to Stirling from England, or from this region even. And yeah, it's one of those things, people are always really pleasantly surprised. And I thought, you know, it's one of those little hidden treasures that people need to know about. So if I put it in my dissertation, then that's a really good thing for the museum. My dissertation title was a comparison between the collection of museum artifacts and global tourism in terms of colonialism and orientalism. I know that's a bit of a mouthful, but it was mostly about collecting museum artifacts in terms of colonialism in the past and how some objects were stolen in the past. Now, this is national museums I'm talking about, not your little local museums. And I did want to talk about how you could get around the whole debate. There is a massive debate, which I'm not going to go into, but if you can get around the debate by putting things in local museums, you know, that could be a bit of a better solution. Of course, there's pros and cons to all of these different things, and I did manage to you know, the library had shut down due to coronavirus and everything like that. So a lot of my work got lost, and I incorporated coronavirus into it and how things like that can be spread across the world. If you put things in local museums in, for example, indigenous places, you're inviting people in that wouldn't normally be there, and that can pose a threat to their community and things like that. But, you know, that's more localised museums in less developed countries like our own. So we're really lucky here. And yeah, I just wanted to raise awareness for these smaller scale museums and the artefacts that they have, and how important it is for people to know their own local history. And yeah, that was pretty much it. Obviously there's a lot more to it, but it's really quite complex stuff. If anybody wants to read it, I'm sure we'd be able to provide a link for that.
You've been listening to the Devil's Porridge Museum podcast. Previous pods can be found on our website, and remember to follow us on social media to keep up to date with all podcast releases.